Good evening and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that provides you with content by and for queer communities right here in the state of Colorado. I'm Sean Kenny, and tonight we're excited to have guest producer Elise Ertl join us for the show to highlight stories from LGBTQ community members in the state. Elise's career seeks to focus on radio and audio storytelling, and she recently graduated with a master's degree in journalism from the University of Colorado Boulder. Elise explores pressing social issues that range from the environment to marginalized identities, and the project that you'll hear tonight brings you three stories that explore the lived experiences of members of LGBTQ communities in Colorado.
No two individuals' experiences are the same. And when we break down the LGBTQ and non-binary experience, we begin to notice the vastness to which these experiences exist. In the next three stories, you'll hear three LGBTQ and non-binary individuals with different pasts, presence, and futures. The first story features a local Boulder farmer and business owner. The next, a music producer in Rocky Ford. And the final story is about a college student from Iran. The purpose of these stories is to take a zoomed-in approach on each individual's struggles and successes, showing the depth of how, even though they are all within the same community, what they experience throughout their lives is completely unique. It is my hope that by sharing these stories, it will remind people in the LGBTQ and non-binary community to embrace their differences and to know that they are not alone. The first story is about local Boulder farmer and business owner Red Clifford, whose goal is to open a more learning-focused farm for queer, trans, and non-binary individuals. Here's their story. Today, in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, you'll find rows of family homes winding through its suburb. However, this wasn't always the case. 10 years ago, you'd find a quiet, rural space patched with corn farms, apple farms, dairy farms, and, well, more farms. This is how Red Clifford, a local Boulder farmer and business owner, knows the town: to be covered with farms.
Gym class got canceled because there were, like, cows in the field.
Clifford grew up with two moms and 8 siblings. Clifford is non-binary, and coming out for them was never a problem.
It was never something that I really had to worry about. Like, when you have two moms coming out, or like exploring those parts of your identity aren't really something that you really have to worry a lot about.
Conflict about Clifford's identity came in more so in the internal sense, questioning, who am I and why don't I feel like I belong? Before realizing their identity, Clifford said they were in denial of it, joining an ROTC program and the military as a distraction. It wasn't until a friend began exploring their own identity as a trans person that Clifford started exploring their own.
Through that process, I kind of got to ask a lot of questions about my own sexuality and my own gender that I was like, oh, like, there's a whole category of people out here that feel like me. Like, this weird feeling inside that I've never belonged or that I don't belong in my body, like, has a home, and it's not just being wrong. I was mislabeled.
This realization felt like an aha moment for them, from which they began experimenting with names and different pronouns before finding that they/them felt right. Moving far away from home and their close circle of safety meant having to re-navigate and rebuild community. Clifford has now been finding community by making connections back to their roots on the farm.
It's really, really hard to make rural queer connections offline. Like, the internet getting as popular as it has made it so much easier to network. Like, there's a whole group called the Queer Farmers Network, and they email each other with everything from, I'm looking for a job, to here's this really cool seminar that's happening.
Clifford also talks about what it was like to meet with other queer and trans and gender nonconforming farmers, with one farmer in particular up in Wellington County with a regenerative farm.
Getting to talk with her and be on her farm where I could be open about who I was, like, we're talking about all this stuff as we're weeding rather than me having to code everything I'm saying so that I don't get booted off the land or not given the chance to be there in the first place, was not only really healing, but also I got to learn more. Like, I had got to have less of my guard up. I could ask deeper questions about how her relationship with nature has evolved and how her relationship to queerness can be kind of embodied through getting to be outside. that's something that I think gets missed out in like rural queer relationships, is that like aspect of being close to nature and having space from like all this is really key to a lot of people's like mental health and ability to be themselves.
Remaining close to nature through farming has been a key factor in Clifford's life. But sometimes, even with a supportive community, navigating being a non-binary farmer comes with its own challenges, such as being misgendered.
It really almost just feels like emotionally constipating. Like, at where my main farm is, I'm not out because I don't know what the dynamic of the neighborhood is yet. So sometimes it's just those like cringes of being like heed by like four or five different people, or like sweet little old ladies calling you a nice young man and just kind of having to brush it off.
Clifford also mentions how in Boulder, their identity is often met with tolerance over acceptance.
To put it most simply, it's like, I'm okay with who I think you are rather than I'm interested in understanding who you are.
But when they do get a chance to get away from people and spend time with themselves in nature, it's a reminder of just how needed that connection to nature is.
I love the city. I love that it's okay to be like queer here, but I still have to put a mask on. I'm still like, there's almost that emissary effect, right? Like there's three non-binary kids in my entire cohort. When people see me, I'm representing more than myself. But when I'm out with plants or with pigs, like they don't care. They're just happy to eat. They're happy to be there. And I think that space is what I miss more than anything else. Like no one out on the street is really doing anything for me in terms of like, in terms of like gender difference or like social equality. And so like getting space from it just to like not be in the areas where I'm trying to carve out space, not being the areas where I know there's no chance to yet, but just to be able to be myself and not have to front for anybody is, like, I think the best benefit of the ruralness.
Clifford hopes for the future that they can provide others with the same connection to nature, queer community, and support in farming as they have received.
My kind of long term is to start like a more learning focused farm for queer and other individuals to have that space, either if it's between jobs, between high school and college, to get space with nature, be around professionals, and be able to breathe.
Clifford not only works on a farm, but they also own Ways of Grain Food Co-op, an organic farm-to-family food co-op that delivers fresh vegetables to participating families in Boulder and surrounding counties. Clifford hopes to facilitate their long-term goals by beginning with the co-op.
The co-op is going to help because that's going to help me kind of prove the concept. I'm going to be able to, like, next year we're hoping to do some farm-to-school bids. We're hoping to eventually make, like, a food hub in this area of Colorado. All to kind of say that there's, like, a lot of work to be done here.
The co-op also has personal benefits for Clifford. Finding that crossover between comfortable living, happiness, and connection to roots can be a battle. But the co-op has provided them with just that.
I had a really hard time finding jobs that kind of fit my personality and lifestyle. So getting to be a business owner of something that has like a social impact, but also is going to hopefully pay me like a reasonable like cost of living is just something that I couldn't beat and I couldn't find with something someone else has already created.
And when Clifford gives advice for those struggling right now, they circle back to what's always been most important for them, community.
I want them to know how many older people are fighting for their existence, how many people care about their existence, and how them being around makes the world a more beautiful, interesting place. Like, find the people around you that will stick up for you. Find the people around you that will go to war for you, because it's, I'm not going to say it's going to get easier. It's going to get harder before it gets easier. But if you find those people that you can cry with, that you can like have at the end of the day when people have called you the wrong names or thrown stuff at your car, like just been absolutely awful to you, then like things do get better.
The next story covers music producer Dominique Robbins, who uses his music to express his queerness and create representation of the LGBTQ community in the music industry. Here's Robbins' story.
I get to express my queerness musically that I haven't been able to before. It's been very liberating to like be able to have that out for, especially for people who are like me, and you know, for them to be able to like listen to a song of mine and be able to fully relate to it.
Dominique Robbins lives with his husband in the 1.7 square mile town of Rocky Ford, Colorado. Here, he runs a first-of-its-kind business for the town, a music production company called Art Matters Productions. His dream of owning his own record label materialized in 2017 and has since gone from a home studio to a full-service production company.
That wasn't part of the original plan, but it became part of the plan as I was building the space. My goal with that, of course, is to like offer, you know, a lot more services and be able to do like small little gatherings and things like that right here in the studio.
A production company isn't usually the first place that comes to mind when thinking about local businesses in a small town. And gaining momentum for the business can be a slow start.
The main issue for us was just getting the community to understand and getting the community involved. And people kind of get confused, I've learned, because it is so unique and it's so like unheard of out here. So people, when they hear like Art Matters Productions or production company, they're like, yo, what does that mean? We don't know a production company is. And we're still going through that. You know, it's going to take some time. But I think once people do get it a little bit more, then people will start to, you know, support it a little bit better.
Living in a small town isn't usually the first choice for LGBTQ people either. But Robbins navigates both, right there in his small town studio, incorporating his queerness into his music, even when the music industry places doubts in doing so.
When I hear artists like Todrick Hall, who continuously expresses his queerness in his music, like, it's very encouraging. Because as an artist, especially as an R&B artist, I'm told, you know, you can't express your queerness in your music. You gotta be, if you wanna get famous, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. It's like, but there's space for all of us. Like, there's space for each and every last one of us. Like, just because I'm doing R&B doesn't mean I have to talk about women, doesn't mean I have to talk about men either.
Robbins knew from a young age that he liked two things. He knew he liked music, and he knew he liked men. And this continual pressure to conform to societal norms appeared in both important areas of his life, his music and his sexuality. Robbins grew up in the church, playing the drums and singing at nearly every service his church offered. His sexuality and the church never seemed to be a point of contention for him. But this changed when he told other people within the congregation about his attraction to men.
It did cause a little, I'm not going to say confusion because that's not the right word. I would say it caused a lot of self-doubt. And it also caused a lot of resentment towards God, because it's like I'm looking at my leadership. I'm looking at the people who are supposed to be the quote-unquote, I'm just going to call them the gatekeepers of my salvation. And they're telling me that, you know, you're wrong, you're an abomination, this, that, and the third. And so then a lot of self-doubt started coming in, and it was like, man, you know, am I even loved? Am I even appreciated?
Despite being exactly the same person as before coming out as gay, people's perception of Robbins had completely flipped.
It shouldn't change. I'm still the same kid. I'm still the same drummer. You know what I'm saying? My music skills ain't changed. You know, my ability to provide you what you want hasn't changed. So why the sudden change? You know, that was the big thing for me.
Over time, this rhetoric in the church that was facilitating Robbins' self-doubt began to change how Robbins viewed himself, leaving him to lose sight of one thing he grew up being absolutely sure of.
You know, I got so busy in church that I couldn't even come to the realization for myself. You know, I got so busy trying to be who they wanted me to be. I got so busy trying to play and do everything that they wanted.
Robbins worked his way through this time in his life by building a community. And as it turns out, he wasn't the only one in the church who had been working through these feelings of self-doubt.
It was also a lot of trying to find a tribe, trying to find that community. And I did for a little bit. I found a group of people who did love me. And then another thing that kind of helped was one of the people who I would watch stand in the pulpit every single Sunday and would say, you know, being gay is an abomination, ended up being gay himself and was very public with coming out, like super duper public. And so in a way, even though he left, pretty much it happened overnight. That also helped me because it was like, okay, so this whole time I'm thinking I'm crazy. Come to find out, I really wasn't alone.
Now, in Rocky Ford, when people approach him about his sexuality, he approaches them back with the same energy he receives.
So I basically combat it with like, hey, if you don't want to be treated this way, don't come at me this way. And so, you know, I try to have an adult conversation. Now, has it come to blows or anything like that? Not yet. But yeah, I try to have an adult conversation with people. And then eventually they're just like, okay, like he pretty cool. Like, yeah, I'm because again, I'm a normal person just like you. You know what I'm saying? My sexuality doesn't change the fact that I'm still this person.
Robbins focuses on living his life to his most authentic self. To him, it doesn't matter what you dream of doing or where you dream of doing it. It's that you do it in the truest sense of yourself.
Life is too short to sit here and not live your best life. But, you know, but ultimately it starts with you being who you are. It starts with you being yourself no matter where you go. And make sure yourself is authentic. Don't be putting on one of these characters, because I've seen people do it. Like one, you know, they one way at home and another way in public. Don't do that. But like I said, be yourself, love yourself, you'll be fine.
Music for this story was created and produced by Dominique Robbins.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU. Tonight, we're excited to have guest producer Elise Ertl share voices and important narratives from LGBTQ communities in Colorado. Thus far, you've heard from a local Boulder farmer and business owner, as well as a music producer in Rocky Ford. The latter half of our show highlights the story of a college student from Iran who currently lives in Boulder.
The final story features Amir Mokhtarpour, a college student who escaped Iran and is now trying to seek asylum in the U.S. Here's his story. One 21-year-old left his home, family, and culture behind to come to the U.S. Who would do that, you ask? In his case, he didn't feel he had a choice. Amir Mokhtarpour was born and raised in Iran, a country where being gay is punishable by death, leaving him, as a gay man, filled with fear and uncertainty about his future.
Every connection between two same-sex person is illegal. So this includes holding hand or kissing or showing affection in public has 100 lashes, like lasping in public. And so that's the insanity of this, all of this law.
Even the media in Iran is censored to cover up LGBTQ characters.
Government control the media in Iran. So there is a huge censorship on all of the media. They recreated Modern Family to censor the gay couple with it.
Being trans in Iran is legal. The country ranks second for most gender-affirming surgeries in the world. But this is not because the country is turning toward a more progressive lens, but for another reason.
If people understand you are gay, one path, you either have to get executed, or the other path is that you can go through conversion therapy. And if you get became normal, it's okay, it's done. But if the conversion therapy doesn't work for you, they force you to go through a sexual reassignment surgery. So doesn't matter if you are not trans. If you want to leave having attraction to same sex, you need to go through a sexual reassignment surgery to become the opposite gender. So it's okay for you to love that gender.
The first time Mukhtarpour heard the term gay was from the news when the U.S. Supreme Court legalized gay marriage in 2015. At this time, he was 14 years old, and he knew then this was the word that described what he had been feeling. Before this realization, however, he had never thought twice about his attraction toward men.
I wasn't very happy because before that, I thought it was a normal thing to have attraction toward men. I really thought it was just a choice. You could have either attraction. I even remember when I was in a school, in high school, I even told my, so we were talking about porn, and I literally told them that I found the man more attractive than the woman, and they laughed at me because they thought I was joking. But I didn't know any difference between that. Like, I thought it was totally normal.
This realization led to struggles with depression and mental pressures to change his sexuality. In the height of these pressures, Mukhtarpour came out to his mom, and then was sent to conversion therapy.
At the beginning, the conversion therapy was kind of nice, actually, if I should be honest with you, because my voice would be heard. I could talk with a professional, like, therapist about my problems. But after 5 or 6 sessions, we started to talk about how a normal is to have attraction toward a man. It wasn't until I pretended to be healed that she let me not to go through that therapy process again.
However, it wasn't conversion therapy that caused Mukhtarpour to leave the country. The turning point for him was after he had been sexually assaulted.
I had a sexual assault harassment experience, which I couldn't report because I was afraid of getting exposed as a gay. So, yeah, that was a horrible experience. But what it taught me was that if I was harmed by another man and I was still gay, I would never be able to change myself.
In 2017, he decided to run away from Iran and come to the U.S. He applied to several schools, but got rejected from all of them. This was, of course, a disappointment for Mukhtarpour. But when he tried again, a year later, he finally got his visa to come to the U.S. And while this was exciting, he would come to know the U.S. came with complications of its own.
I wasn't thinking about feeling alone coming here. I was kind of happy about finding a way out. But as the time passed, I really, really miss my family right now. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense, but sometimes I ask myself if it did force it to leave them behind. Probably because I haven't found any special someone here yet. So I feel kind of alone.
Currently, Mukhtarpour is also seeking asylum in the U.S. The process of asylum seeking requires one to first fill out an application, then get a fingerprint scan, and then pass an interview. And even if he got all of this, asylum is not guaranteed. Because of COVID and the Ukraine war, the process of seeking asylum has taken Mukhtarpour longer than he expected.
The process between fingerprinting and submitting the application took 2 months just to get back to me, give me an appointment for fingerprinting. And my lawyer said he had clients who waited for 3 months, but he has a client who has been waiting for 1.5 years and they haven't got the interview yet. So that is really, really, really stressful. I mean, I check my mail like every day to, but I'm waiting patiently for that letter because my future literally depends on that letter.
Mokhtarpour has now waited 6 months to hear back about an interview, with no clear sign of when he will hear back. He talks about how stressful his situation has been and what the implications of not getting asylum means for him.
I mean, future is unknown for everyone, so it's okay to be anxious about future. Everybody has, I cut some slack for everyone to be anxious about their future. But my future can turn from life to death based on one person's decision.
Despite every obstacle that Mokhtarpour has had to face, he has still managed to find joy in his life.
The other day, like in first few months I came here, I came out to a bus driver, and before that I couldn't even imagine talking about things like sexual orientation with a stranger, but I came out to my bus driver, and that was really a good feeling for me to being able to express myself. So the one part is that I can be myself, so I can have a future here. Last week, I went to my first date, and that was really something really new and cool for me. We didn't bend very well. He wanted to keep it just as a friendship, but I feel like that was a really, really good experience after a long amount of time for me. And for future, I'm really looking for having a boyfriend and getting married and having kids one day, maybe.
Mokhtarpour's future is unknown and long and scary. But for right now, he's on his path to finding what nearly everybody wants: a secure life, family, and the ability to be himself.
You've been listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm Sean Kenny, and tonight's show featured guest producer Elise Ertl, who recorded and edited the stories that you heard tonight from various members of LGBTQ communities in Colorado. Of course, queer and trans communities are not a monolith, and both sharing and listening to stories like the ones we heard tonight can provide a fuller picture of what it means to celebrate and recognize gender and sexual diversity this Pride Month. For more information about tonight's show, including a full recording of the episode, go online to our website at news.kgnu.org and click on Outsources under the Shows and Features tab. As always, let us know if you have comments or feedback about tonight's show by emailing outsources@kgnu.org.